My guest at this time is former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. He is a two-time Republican presidential candidate, and starting Saturday, he is once again the host of his own weekly television program. Huckabee premieres Saturday at 8 o'clock Eastern on Trinity Broadcasting Network, also known as TBN. He joins me now to discuss his program and some other things in the headlines. And Governor, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Great to be here, and we're very excited about the new show launching this week. And you know, I think we've kind of worked hard to get a newsmaker to launch the show. We had a little difficulty getting somebody who makes news, but we got the next best thing we could. President Trump is going to be our very first guest on the very first show. So I think that's kind of starting out with a bang.
Yeah, it's hard to top that in terms of guest profile. You obviously had a very successful hour-long weekend program before you ran for president in 2016, and as a lot of folks know, that was a mix of political content and some non-political features meant to encourage folks. So is it pretty similar to the program you had before, or is it a pretty different approach?
Well, Greg, it's going to be very similar, but there's a couple of big differences. One, while we'll continue to do political content, I want to make sure that we don't do it in the way that it's become increasingly prevalent, which is what I call political ping pong. You get a couple of people, one on the left, one on the right, and they just bounce back and forth between very predictable talking points that you hear every hour, 24 hours a day, but you don't really learn anything or gain much from it because it's more of a screaming match, people talking at each other rather than with each other. So I want to approach it from what I call a vertical perspective rather than horizontal. Rather than so much focus on the left versus the right, I want to talk about what makes it better, what makes it worse, what are the real solutions, not just play the blame game and point fingers. So how could we fix health care? Why haven't we? I want to give the viewer an understanding of how government actually works and why things either happen or don't. The other big difference is we're going to be basing the show in Nashville, Tennessee, which is such an incredible place for talent. We're going to do a lot more music. We'll have comedy. We're going to have a lot of variety. It's going to be a very watchable show to combine current events and topics of politics and all of the things that make the headlines. But we want to take you behind the headlines and introduce you to some people in the country that are truly remarkable and make America a terrific place to live, but maybe they don't make headlines every day. And then, of course, as I say, we're going to have some very entertaining moments with great guests telling their stories and giving us an insight into their extraordinary talents and gifts. And Nashville is the place for that. Greg, one other thing, this show, because it's really intended for a heartland audience, makes perfect sense to launch it from the heartland of America.
Very good. There's obviously, Governor, a lot of hurting in this nation from the horrors like we just saw in Las Vegas, to natural disasters, the opioid crisis. And you talked just a moment ago about how you're going to address those, but in a different tone than we usually see in cable news and so forth. So in this current polarizing environment, it's often hard to remember what's going right in this country. So how important is it to you to uplift in addition to educate?
Well, I think it's very important. So many people are discouraged, and they really don't have to be. Certainly, we're all heartbroken about the events of Las Vegas. We grieve for the people of places like Puerto Rico and Houston and Florida who've been through terrible hurricanes. But we see the remarkable resilience of the American people and the American spirit. In Las Vegas alone, there were people who were laying their lives down for others, risking their lives. Many people came out of there without their shirts because they had torn them to make tourniquets and bandages for people they didn't even know. That's who we are as a country. We're not the guy on the 32nd floor indiscriminately killing people. We're the people who rush to the sound of the gun so that we can help those who have been shot. And that's the America that we need to put a big focus on and shine the spotlight on.
Governor, TBN, of course, is a Christian network. You've always been open about your faith. Will we see that even more up front in this program?
There'll certainly be an openness about it. You know, we're very clear that the show itself is not religious content per se. You know, it's not going to be preachy, and it's not going to be, all about call this number for a time of prayer. But unapologetically, as the host of the show, you know, I'll never hide the fact that I'm a believer. There'll be many people on the show that aren't necessarily people who have faith content. It's going to be just a television show. But when there are people who have a strong personal testimony of their faith and how it has transformed them, then we're not going to shy away from that or ask them to tamp it down so that somehow we won't tell the full story. Because for many people, they can't tell their story unless they're very open about what their faith meant in terms of getting them through an addiction or helping them through an incredible tough time, maybe through post-traumatic stress syndrome. There's so many ways in which faith is an important, integral part of people's lives. We can't escape that.
We're talking with former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. His program Huckabee premieres Saturday at 8 o'clock Eastern on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. And, sir, in our last few minutes here, I want to get your thoughts on some of the things we're seeing in the news. And first of all, get your assessment of the president about 8 months into this administration. There's obviously been some progress he's been able to make in terms of rolling back regulations or backing out of the climate deal. But no major legislative wins, particularly on Obamacare. We'll see what happens on tax reform. Obviously, he had some wins when it comes to confirmations. But how does he get the ball rolling legislatively? What do you think he could do differently?
Well, I think he's got to get the Republicans to understand that they weren't elected to go up there and sit on their hands. Many of us are extremely frustrated that after 7.5 years of saying they would repeal and replace Obamacare if they had an opportunity, well, now they've had two great opportunities, and they've blown both of them. There's just no excuse for that. And I can't blame that on the president. I've got to blame it on the members of the Congress who were very disingenuous in saying they were going to do something, and it turns out they didn't have any intention of getting it done. So that is a leadership issue in the Congress. The president has done his part, but they've got to put something on his desk. He can't go and make all the votes just by himself. The second thing I think has to happen is some of the Republicans have to understand that if it's an all or nothing, now or never proposition for them, they're going to get nothing and they're going to get it forever. And you can't have people walking into the kitchen, 535 members of the House and Senate, all bringing their spoon and their spice and saying, I want it just like I want it. Doesn't work like that. So what I hope is that some of them will wake up to the reality is that in a legislative environment, nobody gets everything. Everybody may get something. But if some people really just are belligerent, they really do walk away with absolutely nothing.
The president has worked a little bit in the last few weeks with Democratic leadership, both on moving the ball forward on debt relief and spending, basically moving it to December, and also potentially finding some common ground on immigration. Does that make you nervous, or is that a good move?
Well, I think it's a good move. For one thing, it gets the Republicans off high center. I think it's also a good move to say that this is America. We don't want to just have a partisan attitude toward solving problems. What we want is to actually solve problems. So that's, I think, something that's been very helpful. And it's kind of how we're going to approach issues like that on the show. I want to get Democrats on the show, and how do you fix this? What is your idea? They may have some good ones, and I'm not going to yell at them and scream at them and talk on top of them so we can't hear what they say. Sometimes what they say may come across as ridiculous. If it does, then it does. But we need a country where there really is that kind of give and take that I feel like we have been missing for a long time.
What do you make of the media's approach to this administration? Obviously, we know the media tends to have a bent to the left, and they weren't exactly kind to George W. Bush or his father or President Reagan, and going back even farther than that. But the intensity seems to be still as if we're almost in the last week of the campaign here with the way that they approach this administration. What do you make of it, and what's the best way to deal with it?
Well, clearly the media does not care much for President Trump, and I think they make that so very vividly clear. But he has a way around them. He can use social media. He can go on shows like mine, which he's going to do this weekend, and he'll be able to talk to America where he doesn't get filtered by a reporter from the New York Times or the Washington Post. And that's why I think he's willing to come and have a sit-down interview with me. And I suppose it'll be the first sit-down interview that he will conduct after his trips to both Puerto Rico and to Las Vegas. So couldn't be more timely for our show to be able to have the president and for him to be able to speak directly to the American people.
Governor, you've always been known for your ability to clearly articulate where you stand and inject humor into the situation. But as we've learned here in the past few months, you might only be the second best communicator in your family. Your daughter, of course, serves as White House press secretary. What's it like to watch her spar with the media every day, practically?
Well, I'm very proud of her. I mean, I think she has demonstrated an extraordinary sense of equilibrium when she walks in that room, and she expresses the confidence of the president. And one thing about her, she's unflappable when it comes to all the pressure she's under. And for that, I'm very proud. People have asked me, are you nervous when she goes up? Really not, because I have every confidence that she's absolutely capable of doing that job and doing it well. And I watch basically sitting back saying, way to go, girl. Good job. And she's having fun. She never takes that stuff personally. I mean, she's lived her whole life as a time she was a little kid in the world of politics. So she's not somehow shocked by all of the stuff that she hears and sees every day. It's kind of old hat to her. And so I just don't think they're going to be able to get under her skin and cause her to escalate the tension in that room, which is something that is one of the most important roles she plays as press secretary.
Last question, sir. Given what you just mentioned about your daughter being unflappable in the press room, some people have said that that's not exactly the way that the president operates when we see his reactions to various criticisms and so forth. Based on what she's told you and based on your own experience with the president, because sometimes we hear that he seems very different and much more calm and measured in private. How would you characterize the private Trump?
You know, he's really an incredibly gracious, personable, warm individual. His relationship to his children is enviable. There's no father in America that would not want to have the kind of closeness and just rapport with his adult children than any more than he does. It's pretty remarkable. It's what I first saw in him. And it was not that the relationship was stage related. I've seen a lot of political people who would come from backstage and they would walk out on the crowd and they would hold hands and they would wave and they would smile. And, you know, I'd see him backstage and it was anything but that. With Donald Trump, the most warm moments are the ones backstage when nobody's there but his family. And that really helped me to see an authenticity in him and an honesty and a candor about him that I really have found refreshing.
Well, Governor, congratulations on the new program. We look forward to the premiere again Saturday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Time on Trinity Broadcasting Network. Best of luck with that. Good luck with the interview with the president. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg. Take care.
Absolutely. Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas, two-time Republican presidential candidate. Again, his new program, Huckabee, starts Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on TBN. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.